All right, so listen, we have this lingering series going, 1 Peter of Be Holy, and we took a couple of weeks off, and so this is probably not optimal because I know we're supposed to start the New Year's off with some encouraging theme or series, but we have to finish our last series. Is that all right? I believe in finishing what we start, and so we are going to land this series in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so if you guys have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hey, also just want to remind you guys, if you don't have a Bible and you need one, let us know, and we can get you a Bible, a tangible Bible to have. I know you guys have the cool apps and stuff like that, but it's good to have a Bible. It's good to know and flip through the pages and smell the paper and smell the ink on the pages, and it's good to know that Bible. And I pray that it's each of your goal, not in a religious way, but in a way that you want to know God more. If you want to know God more, how many of you want to know God more? How many of you know one of the biggest tools for us to know Him more is to read His Word? As you read the things that He has said, read the things that He has spoken, listen, and see the things that He didn't say. Sometimes we have ideas about things that God said that He never said, and we really need to get to know His character, and there's no better way to do that than by reading His Word. How many of you are at 1 Peter 5? If you're there, say amen. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we engage Your holy Word, I pray that each and every one of us is ready to receive. Ready to receive what You have for us. Ready to receive what You have for our lives. Lord, I know that You speak to us corporately. I know that You are taking Restoration LA as a local church in a direction and to a place that You have prepared for us. But You've also set things in motion for the individual, for every man and every woman in this room. And I pray that each of us in this year will strive for that thing in which You have called us to. Lord, we are trusting You for 2018. I pray, Father, that this year is a victorious year. I pray that this year is a breakthrough year. I pray that this year is going to be a year that we can chalk up on our journals, that we can print banners and write messages in the sky about, because You have been so good to us. We love You, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us this morning like only You can. We submit our thoughts, our minds, our preconceived notions to You. We lay it at Your feet and say, Lord, have Your way in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, real quick, I want to thank everyone who helped clean yesterday. There was a cleaning crew here who did some great things of cleaning up the church, and I just wanted to give them a bit of thanks. If we can give them a big hand, I know the children's ministry team and everyone else who was here. So thank you guys so much for coming to do that. We appreciate that. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm just going to begin reading. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It says, therefore, I exhort the elders amongst you, as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Now, just like we see in the Apostle Paul's teachings, we see addresses, or we see the people being called out from the local congregations, or the recipients of the letters from the apostles. And so we see that Peter here is saying to the elders amongst you. He's calling out a people group within the recipients of this letter. And so this is how we understand and build our doctrine of local church government. And so we see that the elders in the life of the church were a set-apart ministry within the church. And that's why we have a team of elders in the life of our church. That's why we have built a doctrine that the church is elder-led. And we have tried to be a biblical people at Restoration LA. And it doesn't mean that anyone else in this place is not of equal value to God. It just means that this is a set-apart ministry within the life of the church, being elders. And we also see deacons in the life of the church. And then we see the saints. And so this is just a confirmation that not only was the Apostle Peter an apostle of God, but he was also an elder. He says, I, a fellow elder, which means he was a pastor. He actually led a local church. And so he is speaking from the authority from an apostolic authority to the church, but he's also saying, hey, me as your fellow pastor, I want to encourage you in these things. And so I don't want you guys to tune out because this portion of scripture is directed towards leaders. And so we can just say, hey, Steve and Ken, you guys need to listen up here because this is for you. But we also need to all be aware of the standards that God has for his church. Can you say amen to that? So therefore, I exalt the elders amongst you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Listen to this. Shepherd the flock of God amongst you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Right? We're going to break down some of this in a bit. According to the will of God and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And so here's the Apostle Peter. He is first in this chapter charging the eldership of this church that is reading this epistle, right? So they're reading these letters, and they're actually taking the encouragement from Peter, and he's saying, "Hey, you elders, these are some of the things I need you to give your attention to." And we're going to break those things down in a bit. Are you okay with that? And listen to this. And when the chief shepherd appears, speaking of Jesus, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men. Okay, so now this is you younger men, but it's also speaking to you younger in the Lord. Okay, are you listening? You younger in the Lord. And this, to me, as I'm reading and as we understand the context of Scripture, it is a spiritual context. Are you with me? So you younger in the Spirit, you who are less mature in the things of the faith. Are you hearing me? Okay, when you read you younger men, sometimes the ladies just automatically check out, right? And so we need to hear the not the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word. And the spirit of the word is speaking to those who are less mature in the things of the Lord. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. You younger, be subject to your elders, and we'll get to that. And all of you, so now we're all back on board. And all of you, so now there's three people groups have been addressed. The elders, you younger in the Lord, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Say humility. Humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud. Can you say that with me? God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud, but gives grace. Gives what? Grace to the humble. And we prayed that this morning in our prayer time. And I want to remind you that we do have a prayer time at 9 a.m., prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do together as a church. And I know 9 a.m. is a little hard to kind of muster up the kids and get here, but I'm telling you, as a church, when we pray, we're going to begin to see radical things happen. When we look at the early church pray, we see things take place. We see prison gates opening. We see the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in ways that can never be imaginable. And I'm telling you, if we want to see those things in our age, we need to be a part of it. And so I want to encourage you, not with guilt, I just want to encourage you, come and pray with us at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. It's a half an hour. The cafe has made provisions for us after prayer. You can get out there and have some coffee that half an hour in between service, and it's going to be a great time. So come out. Number six. Therefore. So because, right? Because God opposes the proud, right? Because God opposes the proud. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him. Casting what? How many of you want to be less anxious this year? How many of you have suffered with anxiety? And just that thing has just crippled you. We cast our cares upon the Lord. We cast our anxieties on Him. And listen to this, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, say the devil, Satan, Lucifer, your adversary, and you better believe you have an adversary, and you better believe that he is real, and you better believe that he has a threefold plan for your life. He wants to steal from you, he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. We have to understand that that is his plan for our life, and we have to be on alert, and we have to be sober. Listen, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, right? He's looking for anyone. He's trying to take anyone and everyone to hell with him because he knows where he's destined to go. Let's not make it easy on him, church. Can you say amen to that? And let's not let those around us fall into those same traps because you and I are alert. But listen to this, and I love this part, and we're going to break most of this down. But resist him. Resist who? Resist the devil. You know that you can actually resist him, right? I want to put this in kind of silly language, but you guys can get the fact, right? When you're on a diet, have you ever been on a diet? And you're doing good? No? Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, seafood diet. Yeah. Eat everything I see. When you're on a diet and you're doing so good, and someone puts like that King Taco right in front of you, or a Reese's peanut butter cup, or the 7-Eleven cookies, but you've been doing so good, and you're just kind of like, okay. Now let's put that in the context of our sin nature. You've been resisting the devil. And then he puts that one thing on a silver platter for you. And instead of resisting him, and you know what? The Lord even gives us a pattern of how to resist him. Run. Flee. Don't put yourself in a position that you're going to fall into the trap of the enemy. Are you hearing me, church? We see in Joseph's life, Joseph Old Testament, Genesis, the son of Jacob, right? And so Joseph was the son of Jacob, and he was taken into captivity because his brother sold him into slavery, and then eventually he rose out of prison and became, no, eventually he was taken into slavery, and then he rose in the areas of slavery and became put charge over Potiphar's house. Right? And Potiphar was a wealthy man, and he had many servants, and he put Joseph over all of his servants. And Joseph was a young man, he was a handsome man, he was a strong man, and Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him, right? And in order to not fall into that temptation, the scriptures tell us that she grabbed a hold of his garment. And in order to get away from her, he ran away as she ripped his garment from his clothes and ran out of the house naked. This is resisting the devil and fleeing. That's what fleeing looks like. It isn't like, oh, you know, I found myself in this position and I don't know how I got here. Well, you probably drove to her house and went inside and sat on the couch with her. And the lights were dim, and that's kind of how things got put in motion. I don't know how it happened. Young ladies, that applies to you too. And older ladies, yes. Sheesh, come on now. If you have a problem with drinking, you probably should not be in the bar. Are you with me? If you have a problem with pornography, you probably should not be on that website. If you have a problem with lust, you probably should not be surrounding yourself with other lustful people. Are you hearing me? Resist the devil and he will flee, right? Resist him. Resist him like Joseph resisted. Run out of the room naked if you have to, right? If your friends are speaking improperly at the workplace, walk away. If we're caught up in gossip all the time, close your mouth and walk away. I don't know why I'm saying all this stuff. You guys can write it down if you need to. Resist him. Listen, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So listen, you're not the only ones who are suffering. You're not the only ones who have to resist the devil. I mean, some of us think that we're the only ones being attacked by Satan. And I'm telling you, it can feel like that, but Satan is not omnipresent. And what I mean by omnipresent is he can't be everywhere at once. Only God has that ability. And so Satan, yes, he has demons who are chasing us and who are taunting us and who are trying to oppress us. But I'm telling you, you and I do not fight Satan on our own. We fight in the power and the authority of the Lord. You resist him. You speak the name of Jesus and he will flee. We're not alone in this fight, church. After you have suffered for a little while, say a little while. And be now, this is our eternity perspective, right? After you suffered for a little while. Now, I know 85, 90 years on this earth is a long time. But I'm telling you, in the glimpses of eternity, it's nothing. And so this is what Peter's telling us. And after you suffered for a little while, right? The God of all grace, say all grace. All grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, listen, church, will perfect, will confirm, will strengthen, and will establish you. Ain't that awesome? Will establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then there's this portion of scripture here in verse 12. It says, and this is just kind of his sign-off for this letter that he's writing. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who was in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ. And there's the end of 1 Peter, right? And so we have all of these truths that have been combined of being holy, right? Of holy living and those things that God wants to actually help us, how he wants to help us live set apart lives for him, right? And you remember being holy is to live set apart lives for him. So look at your neighbor and say, you need to live a set apart life. How many of you want to live a set apart life in 2018? How many of you want to make an impact for Jesus this year? And I'm telling you, if we're going to make an impact for the Lord this year, then we have to live set-apart lives, right? So first and foremost, we see this address to the elders among you, right? So the elders among you are charged with shepherding the flock among you. So we know that pastors are pastors in a local congregation, right? And so when you see the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul writes something like this to one of the letters. He said, hey, to some, I'm an apostle. And to others, I'm not. Like, they don't see that gifting in me, and they don't consider me their apostle. And so the same for me. In the kingdom of God, why we at Restoration LA don't lift up our titles is because we understand that it's a function ordained by God, but it's not a title and a hierarchical thing that we place on you. Are you with me? So as an elder in the life of this church, I am no greater than you. I have no more value in God before you. And thus, you don't hear many people in this church saying, hey, Pastor Jody, Pastor Jody, Pastor Jody, or Elder Jody, Elder Jody. And listen, if you call me pastor, that's okay. I'm not going to be angry with you because it's a privilege of my life to be a pastor. But you don't get to walk around saying Saint Joel or Saint Linton, Saint Patrick. Hey, right? And I guess you could, because that is a title that you have. We all carry the title of saints in the Lord, right? But this thing is shepherd the flock amongst you means I've been charged to be the pastor of Restoration LA. I've been charged to be an elder here. So I can't walk around the world and saying, hey, I'm the pastor, and in demand that people call me pastor. Now, I know people like doctors and things. People call them doctor, and that's cool. Like, that's great. I work with a lot of doctors, and I don't mind calling them doctor, and that's because they've earned that, right? And that's okay. But I've been charged to pastor this place, right? So anywhere else, I'm not demanding, hey, I'm a pastor. Hey, Mr. Romero, that's Pastor Romero. You get what I'm saying? So here's the key here that we're seeing in this thing, that we as elders in the life of this church have been charged to shepherd this church, right? I haven't been charged to shepherd anyone else's church. Even as I minister in other churches in an apostolic role, it's not my job to shepherd those people, right? It's my charge to strengthen and encourage those churches, as we see in Ephesians 4 is the role of the fivefold ministry. But it's not my job to shepherd them. That's their elder's job there. And so here, it's our job to shepherd you. Number two, our job as elders in the life of the church is exercising oversight. And so we see this role, it's a spiritual oversight. It's a spiritual governance in the life of the church, right? We, as elders in this church, we oversee the affairs in the life of the church, right? And so God has envisioned the eldership of what the direction of the church. And so the elders are now given four areas in which we are to dedicate our time, right? Number one is the discipline of the church, right? If anything were to ever go sideways in the life of the church with people or individuals or with ministry, we as elders in the church are to bring order in that area, so bring the discipline. Second is doctrine, right? We read that we are to hold the doctrinal line for the life of the church, meaning if anyone were to come up here and speak heresy, that we hold that line, that doctrinal line of no, that is not biblical truth. So we need to hold to the truth. And so eldership is in charge of holding that doctrinal line. And then the next D that we have is direction, right? We envision the church of where God is calling us together, right? Where God is taking us as Restoration LA together. And then the fourth would be that thing of shepherding, the love and care for God's people, which is also fulfilled by the deacon role in the life of the church, just as you guys have that, right? So we see exercising oversight. Now, and then there's some things that we got to see. Not under compulsion, right? So not under compulsion is not because we have to. And not out of religious duty, right? Because I see, maybe you've experienced this, where you see people in the life of the church have power trips. Have you ever seen that? Like, have you ever seen, what was that movie, Wayne's World? When they got like power. Right, and they want everyone to know they got like backstage passes. Like, we get to come here. It's like having a badge, right? Look, I'm the new manager in charge. I don't know if you saw that. See that thing? It says manager right there, right? I remember growing up in church. If you got an usher's badge, oh man, if you had an usher's badge, that was awesome. We can't even get our ushers to wear badges here. Jeez Louise! All right. But listen, not under compulsion, not because you have to, not because of religious duty. But listen, he says this, Peter says this, but voluntarily. Now, first and foremost, elders are called, right? Right? They're called by God. It's not something I can't just pick out of the crowd and say, hey, you're going to be an elder. You have to be called by God. Called by God, right? But then it has to be a willingness to do it. This is a voluntary thing. And so when I speak to our eldership and you know, they're, you know, if they're not willing to go in a direction that I believe that God's telling us to do, I say, listen, you volunteered for this, bro, right? That's something I get to pull from Scripture and say, hey, we're all on board. We all volunteered to be here, right? This is something God called you to do, and this is something we volunteered to do, right? And then there's this line that Peter gives us, according to the will of God, right? So we have to ensure that we are always flowing in the will of God, rooted in Scripture, right? Looking and observing prophetically where God is taking us as a church and being accountable to each other. And I want to show you this because that word says what? In the beginning, to the elders among you. That word elders is a plurality of elders, which means in the life of a church, there should never be one man who is running the show. As a church, we are accountable to each other. As an eldership team, we are accountable to each other. We are equal in value. We have different roles to play on this eldership team, but we are elder-led, not one guy, a team. Are you with me? And listen to this, not for sordid gain, Which means if you want to be on an eldership team or you want to become a pastor, you need to check your heart and ask yourself why. Is it because I get to exercise authority over people? Is it because I think I'm going to get a paycheck out of it? Is it because there's going to be opportunity for me to do things that I've been dreaming about for me? I'm telling you, when God calls, it's always going to be for the benefit of others. If God calls you into prophetic ministry, I'm telling you, you're going to have to die to yourself for the benefit of others. If God calls you into teaching ministry, you're going to have to die to yourself for the benefit of others. If God calls you to the worship ministry, listen, if you want to come here on Thursday nights and practice every week, and you want to get here at 8 a.m. in the morning and practice every week, you're going to have to die to yourself for the benefit of others, right? It's just not this thing like, you know, Sarah and the team, they didn't just get on stage and just this stuff happens, right? They put in practice, they put in work, right? So there is this, it's not for sordid gain. It's because I want to serve God and what he's called me to, right? And then it says this, but with eagerness. And I think that we need to grab a hold of this year as a church across the board, not just for our eldership team, as ministers, as a team of qualified people within the kingdom of God. We have to have an eagerness for the things of God. We have to have an eagerness to work in the areas of God that he has called us to. So if you're serving in children's ministry, I pray this year, 2018, that you do it with more eagerness than you did in 2018. If you're working in the worship ministry, if you're working in youth ministry, toddler ministry, usher ministry, I pray that there's an eagerness. I pray that there's a joy inside of you that you get to serve the body of Christ in this way, and that you're up and at them, and that you're early, and that you have your coffee, and you get here on time, and that you're prepared. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying this because we're watching you guys, and you guys are being late and all those kind of things, but you're eager for work. And you don't even want to be there. But you get up on time. You make sure that you punch that clock early, right? And some of you still about 5 minutes if you can, when you can. Or at least I used to, sorry. But with eagerness. Not lording over those allotted. And that word allotted is very key. It says leaders, especially in this realm of eldership, church, you need to also recognize that the Lord has allotted this group of people to us. And we are going to be held responsible on how we shepherd this group of people. Right? And so I'll get to a few things in a second. But I need you to understand that that's why we have a responsibility to you. And so when we call you, or when we're checking in on you, or when we want to have a meal with you, or when we want to meet with you and speak to you, maybe even about a hard thing, I need you to know that we are being held to a standard by God because you have been allotted to us for this season. Now, I'm sober-minded that everyone in this building might not be here next year. But I am also, I also have the fear of God inside of me that while you are here, that I have a responsibility not only to God, but to you, to shepherd you, because God has allotted you to this eldership team. And so I pray that not only that we as an eldership team take that serious, that you also take that serious and know that we take that seriously. And we believe in relationship before function. And what I mean by that is we want to get to know you. We want to be friends with you. But I also want you to know that coffees and meals are great. We're going to have those. But when we have to have some come to Jesus talks, like, hey, where are you at in the things of God? Hey, where are you at in your marriage? Or, hey, I've noticed this thing that you posted on Facebook. What's going on with that? Yeah, don't put it on Facebook if you don't want me to ask you. We really need to recognize that it's not because we're trying to lord anything over you, but God has allotted you to our charge, right? And we take that serious. All right. Next is providing examples to the flock. And so you should be able to look at the eldership team in this church and say, hey, there is an example there that I would like to follow. Now, it might not be in everything, But overall, there should be things in the life of Ken and the life of Steve and hopefully in my life that you're able to grab from and say, hey, there is something in his leadership, in his ministry, in his person that I would like to grab onto. There's an example there that I would like to follow because I believe that every leader, whether you're leading one person or whether you're leading a church, should be able to take on the heart of the Apostle Paul and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I'm telling you, if you've never felt the soberness of God on that standard for your life, like, man, there's people watching and there's people following. Parents, we need to take on that heart. Our children are watching. And our children are going to follow the example that we lead. And I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, there is nothing more important than how the example that we set for our kids. Are you with me? Are you sure? Okay. And then it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, and this is that great equalizer, this is that great checks and balances for this eldership team, for every elder that is functioning or pastoring a church anywhere, is listen, when the chief shepherd appears, which is saying that, listen, God has allowed you to lead his sheep, this portion of his flock, for at this certain time, but just know that God, Jesus, the chief shepherd, is going to appear and you're going to be held to account on how you led his sheep. That is sobering, church. And that is the great accountability that we have as an eldership. So those who aspire to be an elder, those who desire leadership in this way, please hold that in balance. And we see this in James 3:1. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. We will incur a stricter judgment. So listen, there's a higher standard for those who choose roles of elders, teachers, and pastoral roles in the life of the church. You guys cool? All right. The next one is younger men, right? Younger men, it says, submit to the elders, right? Submit to the eldership. What does that mean? Now, I don't know about you, but the word submit seems like an ancient word because none of us like to use it. But there's no other word that we see in Scripture. And so we have to understand, what does that mean to submit to the eldership? Listen, here, the Apostle Peter, he's exhorting the younger. And this is from Matthew Henry's commentary, right? He's exhorting the younger to submit themselves to the elder, to give due respect and reverence to their persons, and to yield, listen, to their admonitions, reproof, and authority, enjoining and commanding what the word of God requires, right? And so he's saying, hey, you who are younger in the Lord, submit to the eldership, right? Not only submit to them in person, meaning, hey, like Ken, like I recognize that you are an elder in this church, and for that I want to give you your due honor. There still is honor in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Right? Just like we would appreciate you teaching your children how to honor their children's church teachers, right? I hope you guys coach them and say, hey, you're going up there to learn about Jesus. You need to pay attention. You need to not be a problem. These are the conversations I have to have with my kids, right? And I need you to listen because I'm going to ask you when you come out of church on Sunday, what did you learn? And if Teacher Steve or Teacher anyone else tells me that you weren't being good in listening to the things of God, then there's going to be some repercussions, right? This is honor that we're teaching. It's the same thing in our lives as Christians. God has placed men and women in areas of authority over our lives, and we should give them the honor that they're due, right? Honor in a way that we accept their admonitions, we accept their reproof, we accept, listen, their correction. When's the last time you have ever gone to an elder in an area of your life that you're struggling with and took correction on the chin? And said, okay, Lord, I'm going to honor this authority that you've placed in my life, and I'm going to walk this thing out. When's the last time you have ever done that? When's the last time you've ever gone to the eldership when you've had a major financial decision? and said, hey, there's this big decision in my life, and I would love your perspective. And I want you guys to know this, as our eldership team is concerned, we're not here to give you permission to do anything, right? You guys are grown people. You can do whatever you want, however you want to do it. But we will give you biblical perspective. We will give you biblical perspective. And the reason why I know most people don't come to us in areas, in two areas most specific, in marriage and in finances, why people don't come to us early on is because they don't want to hear the biblical perspective. I'm not saying everyone, because some people in the life of this church have come to the eldership for some very serious things, and God has been so good to them. And I pray and I hope that we have honored you who have come to us in those areas just like we have expected you to honor us, right? We're not here to give you permission to do anything. We're here to love you through those things, give you biblical truth, and hope that you will take those biblical truths and walk them out in your lives, right? So, okay, so I have $100 that I was supposed to give, but I have to pay my cable bill. Pastor, what should I do? You want the biblical answer? Right? Cut off the cable. Well, I can't give to the Lord because, you know, I have to pay for all my kids' cell phones, and I have to pay for the cable, and, you know, I just bought the new Suburban, and there's no money left over for me to give to the Lord. Do you want the biblical perspective, or do you want to hear what you want to hear? And so that's why many people don't come to us. A friend of mine, Terry Kruger, says in the areas of marriage that most people come to eldership for biblical counsel on marriage 2 years too late. 2 years too late, because by the time the 2 years have festered and gone on, and it's already DEFCON 5 before it's ever brought to us. When if we were able to start encouraging in those small areas, right? My wife and I are in disagreement on how we should spend some of the finances that we're receiving. Can you help walk us through that? Again, not permission, perspective. And listen, pastors, we're not certified counselors. We're not going to give you the best psychotherapy out there. We are going to take you to the Word of God. And if there's anything outside of our arena, church, I promise you that we will encourage you to go to biblical counseling, find some counselors out there, which is good stuff. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, you're not going to get it from us. Are you with me? Okay, so there we are. You guys okay with that? Listen, Hebrews 13, 17 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So just know that we are going to give an account to God. And so we're not, you know, I'm not, I don't want to sign up. I don't want my office door to be open 24/7 and you guys come to me, here's my bills. What should I do with them this month? Like that's not our role, right? Our role is to direct you in the areas of the kingdom. This thing keeps cutting in and out, yeah? We'll see. Maybe I'm going to stay in one place. So we're not trying to be in, like every metal and every affair that's God doing you. God's giving you wisdom, understanding, and intelligence to do things. And you read the Bible just like we read the Bible. You know what to do with it. But we are here in those areas where you get stuck. We are here in those areas that you need encouragement. We are here to envision you and speak prophetic over you and to dedicate our time in the Word of God and in prayer so that we can take Restoration LA to the place that God has called her to be together. Are you with me? So listen, we're not here to lord over your lives, but that rest of that verse says this, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So let your leaders lead you with joy. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm here to make sure that the eldership stays straight. I haven't heard that in this church, but I've heard it in other, like, yeah, God's called me to make sure that this you know, pastoral team stays in line. Like, man, you have things backwards. Like, that's, I don't see that as a biblical role, you know, because you're just going to become a thorn in the side of a pastoral team, and that's not a good thing for you or for them. And so I pray that each and every one of us is able to say, hey, here, and we are working with this eldership team to get to the place that God has called us to be. Can you say amen to that? Okay, so all of you, say all of you. Look at your neighbor and say all of you. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. Say humility. Clothe yourself with humility because why? God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, I don't know about you, but Scripture says, and when you read it in the original language, it is an active opposition. It's not like it's an idea of opposing. It is an active opposition that when God sees pride, God stands up from the throne and he will stand right in front of that thing to oppose it. God opposes the proud. And in the kingdom of God, I don't know about you, but we're already fighting our enemy, the devil. The last person on earth and in this universe that I want opposing me is the God of all creation, the God of our salvation. I don't want him opposing me because of my pride. God opposes the proud, right? But he gives grace to the humble. And so you and I have to learn that this thing of the kingdom is not about us. It is absolutely about him and those that he has called us to serve, right? So the Bible says this, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Say that with me. Humble yourself. Right? There used to be a song. It was one of those songs that you sang in, like, I forget. What do you call that, Joe? When you sing in, like, what, counter what? Yeah, counterpoint, right? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. Like that, right? And we used to sing this verse. And it used to get massaged into you, right? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And we don't understand that because the world tells you, hey, you go get yours. Don't let anyone put you down. You stand up for yourself. You step on anyone that you need to step on to get to wherever you need to go because no one is going to do it for you, right? That's what we're told. We're told that in the corporate world. We're even told that in education, right? Kids are fighting for scores and for, what do you call those things, grants and all those things that help them get into better schools. I mean, it's like a cutthroat world, and I'm telling you, in the kingdom, it can never be cutthroat. Right. Because God opposes the proud. Humble yourself. Yeah. Humble yourself, right? Yeah. Here's the thing I also know. That if we desire to be experiencing the grace of God, then we need to live in the humility that God has asked us to live in. But if we don't humble ourselves and we consistently lift ourselves up, what we are saying is, Lord, I want to do your job. See, my job is to humble myself, but I don't want to humble myself. I want to do your job, and I'm going to lift myself up. Do we know that that's actually one of the characteristics of Satan himself? Satan, when he was an angel in the Lord's army of angels, he was the worshiping angel given charge over a third of the angels in heaven. He says this, I will make myself like the Most High. I will raise myself up to the position of God, right? And we do this in our own lives, right? We don't want to humble ourselves. We want to raise ourselves up. We could do it in the workplace. We can do it at home. We can do it in ministry. I'm going to raise myself up. But I'm telling you, if we don't do our job of humbling ourselves, then God is going to do that job for us. And you don't want God to humble you. You don't want God to humble you. If you've never read scriptures on men being humbled by God, go read them. God will humble you, right? So if you keep trying to do God's job, then God's going to have to do yours. Humble yourself, right? Are you with me? And then it says this, cast your anxiety on him. Why don't you guys just close your eyes for a second? Why don't you guys just take a deep breath? This world is anxiety ridden. Your life is anxiety ridden. The pressures and the tensions that come from the forces of darkness and the forces of life are enough to cripple anyone. But I'm telling you, the Lord has given us a tool. Cast your anxieties on Him. Go ahead and take another breath. You guys can open your eyes. Listen, this year, church, can we do more of that? Can we do more of casting our anxieties on Him? Can we do more of putting our burdens at His feet and not carrying them around? We're carrying around everyone's burdens. Wives are carrying around the burdens of their husbands, and husbands are carrying around the burdens of their wives, and parents are carrying on the burdens of their kids. And yes, we've been charged with their care and their love and their provision, but I'm telling you, I got grown adult kids that I'm still trying to carry their baggage, and I can't carry it anymore. They're adults. I got to let them have it. And they can give that to the Lord. I'm going to give my anxieties to the Lord. Are you with me? Right? Be sober. Be of sober spirit, right? Be of sober spirit. Anytime we seem sober, we think drinking. But if you need to be sober, please get sober. But this thing of being sober spirit, it's just coming to grips with the truth of God this year, church. Coming to grips with the truth of God is, Lord, if I don't want 2018 to be like 2017, can I be honest with myself this year? And can I be honest with you this year? And here's the harder part, church. And can I be honest with the world around me this year? If we can be honest in those ways, I promise you 2018 is probably going to be the most freeing year that you have ever experienced. If you've been struggling with, if you were struggling with lust in 2017, then I pray that you're able to be honest with yourself and honest with God and even honest with someone around you to be accountable to say, I want to be free from that this year. If you were struggling with your finances in 2017, I pray you don't repeat the same processes that you were doing in 2017. I pray you're able to be honest with yourself and I'm struggling with my finances and go to God and say, Lord, I've been struggling with my finances, and then go to someone you can be accountable to here in the life of God and say, I need help with this. And maybe you need to sit down with a financial planner. Maybe you need to sit down with someone in the life of the church who's really good with their finances. Maybe, I mean, just find tools to find the freedom. But it's going to take sobriety in being truthful with yourself. Can you say amen to that? And you can take that and put it to every other area that maybe we haven't been honest. If we haven't been honest about our relationships, if we haven't been honest about whatever, my weight. Well, if you haven't been honest about it, right? 35 miles. It's January 7th, and I put in 35 miles already, so I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, that was a pat on my back. Be alert. Be alert. Did you feel like in 2017 you were being blindsided a lot? Right? 2017, did you get sucker punched a lot? How about in 2018 that our head's on a swivel and we're like, we're alert, right? I know my weaknesses and I need people alongside of me to help watch me, right? I need people alongside of me to help watch me. I need someone on my left, someone on my right, Jesus behind me, the Holy Spirit before me. We're going to, right? Let's allow ourselves to be alert and not be blindsided by what we were blindsided by last year. Be alert. The devil wants to take you out. The devil wants to take you out, and then resist the devil. Be firm in your faith. And I already touched on those things earlier. And here's where I want to land. Are you with me? God wants to establish you this year. God wants to establish you this year. Verse 10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ himself, listen, perfect. Some of your portion of scripture will say restore, right? Wants to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Establish you. Have you ever seen like those businesses and it says establish this year, right? This is the year that was established. This was the year that it all kicked off. This is the year that it all started for me. Let 2018 be the year that God establishes you, church. Let it be the year that you say, this is the year it all turned around. Let it be the year that you say, this is the year that I stood for the things of God and I found breakthrough like I never found it before. And yes, there was your salvation moment. And yes, that's when God turned you from death back to life. But church, there's so much more. There's so much more. And the Lord wants to establish you. Listen to this. Psalm 91 verse 14 says this, because he has loved me, say this, he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him and I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. And this is the Lord speaking to us. This is the Lord saying, because you have loved me. Because you have loved me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you securely and high because you have known my name. I will establish you. Church, we need some expectations for 2018. And in order for those expectations to come to pass, you and I are going to have to learn to execute the things of God this year. Are you with me? Hey, Linton had a word that I wanted him to share with us this morning, just briefly, and then we're going to land this. Is that all right? All right.
So I just came to Jody this morning. Wasn't sure if this was for me, but I think it is for everyone. And if you remember the story of Caleb, he was one of the spies that had to go up and spy out the promised land. He was one of two that came back and said, we can take this because God is with us. And the other 10 spoke bad. And so he was 40 at that time. 45 years later, he's 85. And we see in Joshua 14, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. No war for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there and the great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I'll drive them out as the Lord has spoken. 45 years later, he went in the desert for 45 years because of the rest of the people saying we can't go and take hold. And 45 years later, he comes back and he says, but this year, as they take hold of the promised land, he's like, what was promised to me, I want to take hold of. And I just felt God was saying that this is the year we're going to be like Caleb, where we're going to take hold of those promises that have been spoken over our lives, that have spoken many years. We felt like the Lord's forgotten about them. And I feel this is the year God is saying, no, I haven't forgotten. You're walking into them this year. And I am with you.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Can you stand with me this morning, church? If you wouldn't mind, let's just close our eyes. And if you want to lift your hands to heaven this morning, go ahead and do that. This year, we should have great expectation. This year, we should be expecting the Lord to do mighty things, not only in our lives, but in the life of this church. One of the resounding things, resounding words in 1 Peter 5 is humility. And I think before the Lord can establish us, we are going to need to humble ourselves. And I pray that humility will be the mark of a Restoration LA people, because humility is the mark of the people of God. As we humble ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to do a work in us, He will establish us. He will set our feet on a firm foundation. He will make good on those promises that He has promised. If we just hold on. I pray expectation is rising in you for this year. I pray that you and I are going to go deeper in our love for Him and that we are going to stand firmer and firmer on the foundation that He loves us. Lord, I pray for those who have forgotten about the promises that have been made to them. Lord, I pray for those who are approaching 2018 fearful because they don't want to repeat 2017. And Lord, I pray for those this morning who faith is beginning to stir in them, that a fire is starting to be kindled in the pit of their soul and are beginning to be excited about the things that you are calling them to. And 2018, I pray right now that spiritual gasoline is beginning to be sprinkled on that fire. Lord, I pray that fire will not only will not consume them in a way that it's overwhelming, but will consume them in a way that they are going to chase the thing that you have called them to, and they are going to begin to pass that fire onto everyone around them for the glory of your kingdom. Lord, I pray for those who have been fearful to be honest with themselves. I pray for those who have been fearful to be honest with you. And I pray for those who have been fearful to be honest with others. Lord, we know that freedom has come when we're able to confess our sins to one another. That freedom comes in a way that sets the captives free. I pray that we will be a free people in 2018. Free to love, free to walk in the grace that you have called us to, free to accomplish the purposes that you have ordained us to accomplish. Free to love on the hurt, the widows, the orphans, the needy, the homeless, and yes, the unsaved. Lord, I pray that we will be ambassadors for the gospel like we have never been before. We are trusting you for these things for this year in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give Jesus praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.